But if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah. Now, I found out something last Sunday. And see if you remember. Brother King, he preached, and he said, "You are what?" I want somebody in the back back there. Anybody back in the back knows what he said? "You are the salt. And if the salt has lost its flavor, what's it good for?" Let's keep your blood pressure down. The doctor said, "Stay off the salt and sodium." So, speaking of salt, it is on that preserver, and we are to be a light, and that for the Lord. And if the light goes out, you're in what? You're in darkness, aren't you? God says to churches that if you don't get some things fixed, I'll take your light out, your candlestick. Candlestick represented as a light holder, and church is represented as a candlestick. And so oftentimes, church is down the vine. Oftentimes, we get so as much in apostasy that the Lord blows the light out. And hopefully that this would not be the case here. But James, if you don't get busy, it could be. We need your light a shining on that. Let's all stand for just a minute. You're able to. If you're not able to, just remain seated. I will read a couple of verses. I'm going to read verse 30. And if you would, read verse 31. And you say, "Well, why?" Well, because half of you haven't read the Bible this week. And give you an opportunity to say, I'm starting off the week reading my Bible. All right. Now look what he said. "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land." All right, Father, thank you for this hour. Thank you for this time we can gather together. Thank you for these folks that have come. Now, Lord, they've come to worship you. They've come to hear from the Word of God. And I do pray that you would speak through this unworthy vessel. And, Lord, pray that you would override any thought that I may have that would not be, Lord, helpful. And that you would, Lord, give me the words that you'd have me to say. And we'll try to, Lord, to exalt you and glorify you. You're a wonderful Savior. You're a wonderful God. We do believe you're a good God. And our Father, it's a joy to be a child of yours. And I pray here today that you would get all the glory. I pray, our Father, as you search our hearts, that our hearts would be, Lord, open unto you. And, Lord, to speak to those that may need help today. We all fight in different issues. We all have burdens and we all have needs. And Lord, thank you for allowing Lonnie to be here. We've been praying for him, and we just appreciate you allowing him to be in church today. And Lord, continue to bring healing. And Lord, just thank you for watching over Rick and that he's able to be here as well, and others that are going through a difficult time. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Continue to that your grace may be, Lord, with us and upon us, and we'll give you the praise. Now, Lord, if there's one here today that needs you as our Savior, speak to that heart, we would ask you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen, and you may be seated. Now, I want to just, at the last phrase in verse 31, "And what will you do in the end thereof?" And so my message, what will you do in the end? And look at 2 Timothy 4:3. We'll read a few verses here, just give you an opportunity to 2 Timothy 4:3. And the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But now here, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of the ministry." Now Jeremiah is writing to the nation of Israel, and boy, he's talking about some things that he has they have been turning away from. If you know anything about Jeremiah, you know he had a love for the people. Boy, I saw and reading and looking at that, I said, "Boy, Lord, I need a burden like Jeremiah had. I don't have the burden for people like Jeremiah had. We call the weeping prophet. He had a burden to see his people live for the Lord and to walk after God. And into that, here he's writing to the nation. And Paul is writing to the New Testament church, to Timothy. And things haven't changed much, have they? You find here that they were they were prophesying falsely. You find that the priests or the preachers bearing rule by their own means, they're doing their own thing. He said, "My people now love to have it." Well, that's easy, isn't it? It's easy to do what somebody says. That's you do whatever you want to. And this is what the preachers were preaching that, and you find that here that we oftentimes we live in a world that we wonder what the end is going to be. You find in the text Jeremiah tells us some things that are going on today. False prophecy are being told. Priests are doing what they want instead of what God. And the worst part is the people love having it that way. And so how true is this going on today? Well, how is the end going to be? And you go over to 17th chapter of Jeremiah, and he gives you the comparison to a person that is a people that is cursed and a people that is blessed. If you have your Bible, want to turn it real quickly, I'll read it to you. If you don't have that, I've got it right here. Verse 5, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Now, who are you trusting in? Can I say to you, you don't trust in me. God gives me the grace to be able to stand here, but you trust me by the word of God. Don't put no trust in man. Man will disappoint you. And if you get to hear me, I'm just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I thank God for the opportunity to serve God. I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to be a servant unto God. I told the ladies the other Friday up at the jail, I said, you get to do something and hear something that most of the world never get to hear. You get to sit and to hear the word of God proclaimed. You get to hear about how to be saved. You get to have a Bible in your hands. You get to hear songs sung that most of the world does not get to hear. And yet how that we take that so lightly, we take it to where that it doesn't just like water on a duck's back. It just rolls off of us, doesn't it? And God said, listen here, cursed is a man. And I don't think that you want to be cursed. Boy, I don't. I look at the two. He said, cursed be the man who trusteth in man. And I say to you today, you got to be careful of your the people that are proclaiming some things. Who was it? Said it on the internet that you can find, maybe it was Sharon, that you can find about anything. She listens to a lot of preaching, and she has determined that I need to improve my preaching. But you can find all kinds of preaching, all kinds of doctrine. But in the last days, one of the things Paul said to Timothy is that they will shy from and turn away from is doctrine. I read an article where that Christianity is declining in the denominational churches, but boy, it's on the rise to the mega church and the evangelicals. Well, why is it? Because the old established churches, you used to know what they stood for. But today's churches today, you don't know what they stand for. I'm appalled and amazed that Christian people vote for somebody that believes killing a little baby. Emily back there. You look at that child there. Up in Virginia now. Oh, I wouldn't go to Virginia at all. I'd stay away from that place. God's wrath is going to be upon it. You can deliver a baby and then you got the rights to kill it. I mean, that's open murder. And into that, we find that you don't hear the outcry from God's people. You don't hear the things. There's bills that's being passed. Francie has put out in the back there you know who your representatives are, your senators are. Any person that's running for office, I don't care if he's got a R or a D beside his name. If he's for abortions, I'm against him. And by the way, I just take another step. If he's for the homosexual crowd, I'm against them too. That's just as sinful as it can be. And by the way, don't leave them alone there. What about the drunkards? I'm against the drunkards as well, and into that the things that we accept today, and it looks so good. What in the is the end going to be? What into your life? Into that? And so Jeremiah, and God said, "Now look, Jeremiah." He said, "Tell them into that. Here's what's going to happen. Here's going to be the man's going to be cursed, that trusted man, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Can I say to you today that the average professing Christian person, their heart has departed from the Lord? Can I say to you, I'm sure in this room here today, that there is a good percentage of you whose heart has departed from the Lord. Or you say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But hey, has your heart? With the heart, man believeth unto what? Righteousness. Are you striving to do right? Are you striving to exalt God? Are you striving to do what He says? And boy, you get into that. Cursed is a man whose heart has departed from the Lord. Now, could I say to you today, if you're a child of God or if you're lost here today and without Christ, that you're under a curse? And whether you're young or old, it don't make no difference. We all come under in the same head. This here is for the nation of Israel, but the same thing is for the New Testament church and to people today that living in life today, that you that to reject the Lord as your Savior, you're under a curse. You belong to the devil. The devil's under a curse. The devil is going, his life is soon be over. Hallelujah. Amen. On that, anybody likes the devil? I don't even like the smell of him. Only, you ought to hate the devil. You ought to hate the things that he stands for. And it ought to be, hey, if it's wrong, if it's against God, I'm against him. Amen. On that. But most of the time we cuddle up to him. Oh, and we pet that little pet sin. And we said, well, it's okay. Now, those folks, they just not been enlightened about abortion. They've not been enlightened about the lifestyle of living with a man with a man, a woman with a woman. I just think God loves everybody. You better get the right Bible, folk. These folks, you're under an abomination. Hey, look, are you listening to me, girls and boys over there? Have y'all got me tuned in? In high school and in elementary school, they're teaching you that it's all right to have that kind of lifestyle. That it's all right for you to have a lover of the same sex you are. And could I tell you today that those people are under a curse? Could I tell you today into that the Bible is God's word, the Bible is truth, and into that, anybody that deviates from it, you're under the curse of God. You say, well, preacher, you're a little hard today, aren't you? Well, folks, I haven't preached for 2 weeks. See, I'm just like a shotgun. I'm just shooting it out there, scattered all over the place. Brother Terry gives me reloads, and I can reload and shoot again. But he said, now look, now here. For he shall be like the heath. Those that departed from the Lord. He shall be like the heath. Now you come to that word heath there. And I said, well, what in the world is that? And I had to look it up. Do you know what it is? How many here knows what it is? Joel knows. It's a plant. And into that, look what he said. You'll be like they make brooms out of them. They're like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. The person that departs from God, the person that is living for men, the person that is under the rules and the regulation of men, they are like the plant that is out in the desert there, and you find that it's going to be parched. That simply means scorched and burnt. And that's a picture of hell. You find here that he said he shall not see when good cometh. And I don't want to be like that. I want to, when what will I do in the end? I want to be able to understand what's to come, what the good is coming on that. But cursed is a man that he's going to be like the cactus, like the heath out of the plain, out in the desert, and he's going to be in parched places in the wilderness, a type of hell here, and in a salt land, and for not inhabited. Well, that's a good picture of hell. Isn't it? You think you've well, people got to well now. Bless God, I've got a lot of friends down there in hell. I'm going to hell. I've had people. You know, I'm going to hell. I got a lot of friends down there. I mean, that you're a dummy. You don't know nothing about hell. In hell, you will find that you don't have no friends. You'll find that you'll be in such a torment you won't know what a friend is. He said, well, I'll just take my chances. I talked to him yesterday, so didn't believe in God. The fool has said in his heart that there's no God. And you're sitting here today and say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, the Bible says you're a fool. That and in that, and I don't want to be in that crowd. But could I say to you, into that? But look at the next crowd. Into that, in verse chapter 17, look at the verse 17. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord is, for he shall be what? As a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about this climate change. I read an article where, boy, that they are so busy building underground cities now. Did you know that? I mean, they got... they got cities underground that when all of the catastrophe, when God's wrath, they think man's going to do it, but when God's wrath is poured out, they're going to have a place to run to hide. And you know who's going to do that? Oh, you're rich. Those that can afford it. Guys like me and you, James, we just have to suffer, won't we? We'll just have to say, as old John said, even so come Lord Jesus. On he said, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit. And into that you find here that God said that's your roots are going to be spreaded out and the leaf shall be green and you shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So don't worry about global change, folks. Let them go ahead and build their underground cities. Let them store it and stock it up, and when the bombs come, and when the mountains, I read over in Revelation that to keep the mountains and the hills from falling upon us, hide their face from the rocks and the mountains. It ain't gonna do you no good. If God wants you, He knows where you're at, and there is no element that can keep Him from reaching you. And so you're not protected as you think you are. You can put on your body piercing armor like Burl's got on, and think I'm not going to get shot. But hey, as Goliath had his own, didn't he? But what happened to him? A little old stone found his fort, didn't it? And into that, and so he went down with a thud too. And so it is. And what will you do in the end? And as we come down to the close of this, to the coming of the Lord, we know that it ought to be one thing that we need to. What do we need to do is to get ready for the end. Get ready for it. Jesus told us, "In an hour you think not, the Son of Man will appear in the clouds of glory." Countless other New Testament writers remind us that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Oh, it's sad to say that we spend more time trying to figure out how the end is going to come than we do getting ready. I know the end's coming. Well, are you ready for it? Are you ready? Are you prayed up? Have you been cleaned up? Are you walking in fellowship with God this morning? Is He your Savior? Do you have that personal relationship in your prayer life? Evidently, some of you don't never see you on Wednesday night. We had a good prayer service Wednesday night. Boy, I tell you, Mike got to praying, and we had a good prayer service on that. You ought to come and join us sometimes. I guarantee you, if you get down sick and you're facing the old enemy death in the eye, you wish somebody was here praying for you. Amen. On that. As a child of God, we're commanded to pray. And we have a good service. You say, well, preach is so boring to listen to people give request. It's so boring to sit and listen to someone pray. Well, bless your little pitiful heart. Well, Mike is a praying, I'm a praying. I've come to pray. I come to take the requests seriously. I come to, and if we get 100 people a praying, don't you think maybe somebody could slip a prayer into God? Maybe out of that 100 that somebody is, God is listening to. And that, and so we say to you, boy, Wednesday night, I'll probably get into trouble, but I see, you know, people say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've got this going on. Yeah, I say, yeah, we'll pray for you. I want you, you know, at the invitation, come on. Well, I've got, maybe next week I'll come. And, well, come and we'll pray for you. Well, you just ask, well, what if there's nobody here to pray for you? Why do you think the other churches are closing the doors on Wednesday night? Why do you think that there's no services on a lot of them are going on Sunday night? It's because that we are living and we are glad and we love to live for men. The way men wants us to live. And Jeremiah had a burden. And here's how the people want to live. Sometimes you just need to step out of your little comfort zone and surprise the Lord. Amen. You was here Wednesday night, wasn't you, Jimmy? Good. What are you preparing for the end? I hope that when the end comes, you'll be prepared. I'm not worrying it says so much about when the Lord's coming, but I want to be ready when He does come. I don't want to be sitting down in the nightclub when the Lord comes. I don't want to be somewhere else when I ought to be in God's house. I don't want to miss some Sunday morning when I ought to be in God's house. I just believe that every child of God ought to make plans to be in church on Sunday morning. I just don't think that it's any other place is more important enough for you to miss to go in that. And the Reds are getting ready to play. But you won't see me. Butches, I like to listen to them play and hear them play. You won't see me. And I like to watch Kentucky play every once in a while. But you won't see me on Sunday giving any attention to that. Why? Because I have a Savior that loved me and suffered for me and bled and died for me and gave His life for me that I could have the joys of this life as well as through all eternity. And heaven is a real place in case you don't know it. So let's get ready for the end and into that. You know, if you're not ready, accept Jesus and live for Him and try to grow in your relationship with Him. And in that, you'll find you'll have a peace and a contentment that the world can't give you. And so as we think about what we need to do, as we think about getting ready, as we think about in Revelation 22:20, he talks about ushering it in. He which testifies of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. John knew how wonderful it would be for the Lord to return even in this day, but much more for us. Our prayer should be as well. Even so come, come, Lord Jesus. And could I say to you today that the heart is deceitful above all, Jeremiah said, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And could I say to you today, be like the blessed man. Be like the tree that's planted by the river of water. Be like the one that roots are growing out. Be like the one that you'll not have to worry about when the heat cometh and be careful when the drought comes, and they one day will. And neither shall you. You should not ever cease from yielding fruit. We're to be fruit. I am the vine. You're the branches. And if you don't produce fruit, what did the Lord say? You just cut them off and burn them. Now listen, you ought not want to be cut off. You ought to want to produce fruit. You ought to say, hey, I want to be a fruit producer. I want to do something for God in the days that God has given me. Let's stand, please.